Greetings and salutations. This is the Untitled Joshcast, episode number 4. My name is Josh Gershman. I am joined, as always, by my co-host and co-Josh, Josh Hammond.
I'm getting used to the co-Josh. I like this.
Nice.
It's comforting. Feels nice. Feels natural. Feels like we're in mid-season 4.
Yeah. I mean, this is only episode 4 of this show, and we've done like 3 others of the After Dark show. We're getting good at this.
We at least started our season.
Oh, so true. This is our weekly podcast where we discuss what's been going on in our lives and try to have a little fun in light of all that's going on outside of our respective homes. If you like what you hear, you can go to patreon.com/untitledjoshcast to support the show at any level that you're comfortable with, to get all kinds of benefits from exclusive episodes to early ad-free access and so much more. On today's episode, it's going to be a little bit different. Rather than be about one topic in particular or one thing that's happening, what we're going to do is actually talk about some of the good things that are happening in the world right now, the things that we are enjoying, amongst our own quarantine selves, what we've been consuming, and just some good-hearted things that are actually out there in the world. I know that's a bit of a departure for us, but I think we got to mix it up every once in a while, you know?
That's true. You can hear good-heartedness happening right now in the background as my sister's singing in the kitchen.
There you go.
It was Mr. Grinch a little bit ago. That's not super uplifting.
I can actually hear that, so that's okay. All right. The first thing we're going to do, actually, that was a little bit was fun, is we both took this personality quiz that has been all the rage these days on the Twitters, and it's like the what fictional character are you? And so you can take anywhere between 14 and like 170 questions. And they're all like these binary things. Like I have it pulled up right now. So it's like, it's a slider. The visual of this is super simple. It's on this, use the slider to indicate where you fall on the spectrum. So this one question is brave or careful. So brave and careful are two opposite ends of the spectrum. And you have to figure out like where you fall on this one. This one's complicated. Like I found this whole quiz actually difficult. Some questions like these, maybe you fall a little bit more in the middle. Other ones, there was one that I had that was on mine that was like, are you a Luddite or are you technophile? It's like, I'm pretty tech savvy. So like that was easy to put myself firmly in that category, but others I found much more difficult. I don't know if you had the similar experience with this.
I found myself answering it very honestly, and my results make me realize a lot of things about myself that I don't know that I necessarily knew or wanted to know, but apparently I'm dead inside.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll get to that in a second. So you can look up, if you just look up which character personality, it's called the Which Character Personality Quiz. If you Google that, I guarantee you will find it. When it starts off, you choose how many questions you want to do. Again, there's like a super short version that I think is 14 questions. There's the standard version, which is 28, which is the one that we both took. And then there's the extended one, which is like 100 something questions, which is all of them. And so like that would give you the idea there is that it gives you the most accurate view. After I took mine, it was like, hey, do you want to take a few more questions? And then it ran me through a little, like 5 more. I'm like, okay, I can do 5 more. I can't do 100 more.
I did 100 more.
Oh my God. Okay.
I did the whole damn thing.
Oh my God. I take it back. I stand corrected. I did the 28 questions. Josh did the whole damn thing questions. The results are really interesting. I've seen people posting their results online of who they got. An extensive catalog of every fictional character from the entire universe. It is certain series in here. So like from The Office and that 70s show and Harry Potter and Star Wars, but only Star Trek Deep Space Nine, that series. It doesn't give you like the whole gamut of everything that's Star Trek.
They went pretty deep in the nerd world though.
Yeah, like for sure.
They've got Firefly in here.
Firefly was in here, but then also things like Robin Hood and Crazy Rich Asians and Mad Men are in here too. So like you get a very, very broad mix of characters. I am really interested to hear about your results, and I'm really interested to tell you about my results. Where do you want to start? You want to start, like, I figured we go through the first five, because to go through like the hundreds of them, it would be a little ridiculous.
Well, let's start here.
Okay.
What world was your top character from?
Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
That should shock literally no one.
That should surprise nobody. What was yours? What universe was yours from?
Mine was from the Mean Girls universe.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes. Yes. I am 93% Janice.
Okay. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I feel okay with it. It's true. She's sarcastic. She's cynical. She's dead inside. She's played by one of my favorite, well, was played. She's no longer on Broadway, but was played by one of my favorite Broadway stars, Barrett Weed. And I don't know. I think it's a good fit. I think that I've always said that inside my heart, there are two old men from the Muppet Show up on the balcony.
Yep. Staller and Waldorf.
And that is me. And she is that for Mean Girls.
Amazing. You know, actually, that's a good, that reminds me, the Muppets are sorely lacking from this list. Like the Muppet franchise as a universe absolutely needed to be here. We're going to need some revisions.
Sure. I'm sure that producer Rylan can find us a Which Muppet Are You quiz.
That's a great idea. So who's the rest of your top five? And then I'll go through mine.
I have to tell you that I don't know a lot about my top five because number two is from Game of Thrones, which I have never watched. Number three is from The Wire, which I have never watched. And then I have a Harry Potter one at number four. So I have Arya Stark at number two, Omar Little at number three.
Okay.
And from Harry Potter, I have Alistair Moody.
Oh, you're definitely Alistair Moody. That's 100% correct.
All right. Thank you. I was really proud of number five.
Yeah.
I am April Ludgate from Parks and Rec.
Of course you are.
Okay, yes.
So three out of five are spot on. I've never watched Game of Thrones, so I couldn't tell you about Arya. I mean, like, I know Maisie Williams is the actress who plays her.
I don't know that we're allowed to have a nerd podcast.
Well,
if neither of us has watched Game of Thrones, I think that's like,
that's just entirely too bad.
There's some blasphemy happening there, I think. Anyway, I'm okay with it.
And I've never seen The Wire, but I know people that rave about that show. So we'll have to find somebody that knows The Wire and see if you and Omar are like. So my top five, I'll do the franchises first. So number one and number two, both from Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Number three is from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Number four is from The Big Bang Theory, which I'm not crazy about just because I don't like that show. And number five is from The West Wing. So I feel like I got Star Trek, I got West Wing, and I got a little Buffy in here for you. So my number one is also, I found it interesting, the percentages is much lower here. So my number one is I'm 73% of Julian Bashir. He's the doctor on Deep Space Nine, who I love. He's fantastic. This is a Josh Cast throwback, by the way. He was the answer to the trivia question that I could have sworn was wrong when we did our drunk trivia on Star Trek. He is the nephew of Malcolm McDowell. So ironic that there's a little callback here. Number two. So actually I'm perfectly fine with my number one, with Dr. Bashir. I love him on the show. Such like a great character arc over the seven seasons. Just an incredible character. So I have no problem with that. Number two is Jake Sisko, also from Deep Space Nine. Plays the son of the station captain, Ben Sisko. He's a great character. Again, he starts off as this kid in this wartime space station, and he grows to become like a really honorable young man. So I'm perfectly fine with that. Number three, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Willow Rosenberg.
Oh, dude, thoughts? You can't be Willow. You cannot be Willow. I can't allow you to be Willow.
Why not?
I love Willow. I'm not allowed to have like a man thing for you. That's weird. I love Willow.
Yeah, I thought you'd get a kick out of that.
All right, so I'm smitten with you now. I understand.
It's fine. Number four is Raj Kuthrapali from Big Bang Theory, which is like, it's fine. But like, I don't know. I just don't like Big Bang Theory. So I don't really have any opinion about that.
I don't know. I don't see a lot of Raj in you.
Neither do I. Number five is Donna Moss from The West Wing. And I'm like, yep, I have no problems with that whatsoever.
Nailed it. I love that of your five, it's like, well, first the quiz was like, no, really, you like Star Trek.
Yeah, yep.
But then it was also like, but you also like Aaron Sorkin.
So this, yeah, I highly recommend if you are interested in which character personality you are, to definitely take this. It was a lot of fun. It's time consuming. Even if you take the 28 question version, it's time consuming. And especially so if you take the 100 plus question version. But it's a lot of fun.
Before we move on, though, let's discuss a second how this quiz has said to me, you are Haymitch from The Hunger Games. You are the Joker. You are Katniss. You are Marla from Fight Club. This quiz told me I need therapy, I think, maybe.
Well, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but what were the percentage? How much of the Joker are you? Like, what is that percentage?
80% the Joker.
Okay, you might need some therapy. I'm sorry.
Right.
You might want to talk harsh to somebody about that.
I need to call someone. Like, you keep talking. I'm going to go make a phone call now.
Okay. Okay, this was a lot of fun. Originally, this is something that I wanted to do on the podcast before realizing how intense the quiz was. Like, we would take the quiz together. I think this was a better idea. If there is a short version, like a 10 question version of which Muppet we are, we will definitely be doing that live on the show.
I'll get the producer on the case.
So the next thing I wanted to get into is I just started making a list of the things that I've been really enjoying and this, like the good hearted things out there. The first thing on my list is I've been rewatching the show News Radio, which is a criminally underrated sitcom from the mid 90s. Stars Dave Foley and Stephen Root and Phil Hartman, who like my heart hurts every time I just see Phil Hartman, and Joe Rogan back when he was baby Joe Rogan. Like, I just love this show so much. Like, it's funny. We talk a lot about Aaron Sorkin, and this is like similar in that it's a media company, right? But it's all the behind the scenes, and you get very little of what's actually live on air, similar to Sports Night or Studio 60 or the Newsroom. You get very little of the actual show, and it's mostly this behind the scenes. But the Newsroom, it's just so funny, and like Stephen Root is just perfect as he plays Jimmy James, the station's owner. Dave Foley, the new station manager in town, fresh off the plane from Wisconsin. It's just great. Like, and there are definitely parts that don't hold up. Like, there's some mid-90s sexism in there. It's like, okay, this is what was on television on network TV in the mid-90s. But it's just so funny. And like, it's just like a great ensemble and everyone is hilarious. And Dave Foley is so Canadian.
The mid-90s sexism is definitely a thing. I went back and watched both Friends and Mad About You recently, and it's the same way where there are definitely jokes that you're like, whoa, that would have never worked today. And it's crazy to go back and watch that stuff. I've also been diving into a bunch of 80s films lately that I loved that would never work today. Like, there's no way you make Weird Science today. It just would it would just never work.
Yeah, you can't really make a woman out of a magazine. Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild. But like, yeah, that's I can definitely see that. That's a conversation that we should have later. I'd love to really, really dive into that.
Of how we remake Weird Science? We should totally do that.
Yes. Our producer just took the Muppet quiz that she sent us.
Oh my goodness.
She is Swedish Chef.
Oh, that is 100% accurate.
I wanted to be Miss Piggy.
He says it's 100% accurate, though.
No, I'm sorry. You're the Swedish Chef.
I don't know who the Swedish Chef is.
We'll show you the Swedish Chef afterwards.
That is okay. So we've
you're got definitely one, not Miss Piggy.
We've got one down, Rylan. She, you out there in podcast land, you don't know this, but take it from me, a self-professed Muppet expert. she is the Swedish Chef.
I'm hurt.
This is not intended to hurt you. This is an honest conversation about who we are on the inside.
Swedish Chef is an excellent character to be.
Really?
Yes.
I already closed the tab out of confusion.
It's going to be okay. All right.
We will revisit the Muppet conversation. Sounds good. All right. We will revisit the Muppet conversation.
Cool. So you've been watching News Radio. I have been rewatching The West Wing because we talked about it so much that I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to give it another shot.
Yep.
I do enjoy it a lot. I always do enjoy it a lot. I still think it's probably going to fall beneath Sports Night and Newsroom for me, but we'll see. I'm really enjoying it this go round. So that's been something that's really fun. And I've been watching a lot of Adam Ruins Everything lately. And I really enjoy that show too. It's like, there's a lot of facts and I really like watching him rip everything apart. It's pretty great.
I think that's also, we need that now. Like we just need somebody just to tear things down in a funny comedic way, not in a real life tragic way, in a funny way.
It's just nice to see some reality in a world where hashtag our government doesn't always give us the facts.
The next thing on my list is the Scrubs Rewatch podcast with Zach Braff and Donald Faison. It is just, it just warms the very bottom of my soul. Like they've only done two episodes so far. So they've only watched, I mean, they certainly probably watched more, but they've watched and then talked about, done a rewatch thing of the pilot and then episode two of season one. And like, it's just, Scrubs is one of my all-time favorite shows. Like it is up there.
Me too.
On a pedestal. It, you know, as a non-cable subscriber anymore, I don't randomly come across Scrubs, but whenever like I'm traveling and I'm in a hotel, Scrubs is always on. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to sit here for a while and watch Scrubs. It's a show that I just really treasure. And to hear the two of them talk about it and like talk about it 20 years later, like as grown adults and like to look back on this time, it's really special. And it's just like, it just warms my heart every time I listen to that podcast.
It's an absolutely brilliant show. I actually own all 9 seasons. And I did in fact say 9 seasons because we're counting that season that nobody likes. I own all 9 of them on DVD. It's the place that I go when I need to be happy. Like I'll pull them out and I'll just watch them in the background. There's so many brilliant things about it. The comedy is fantastic. It's good. And they did such creative things while the show was going on. Like when they were taping, they had the phone that just laid around the cast. And there was a number that at some point during the show that they gave out, like it was like the number on a business card or something that was handed out during the show. And you would call it. Most of the time you would just get like pre-recorded like messages, but every once in a while, like somebody from the cast would pick up and talk to you. It was just like an ongoing thing. It's such a creative thing. Have you ever watched it with commentary?
No, I haven't. That's one of those things where like, I like in theory, but I never actually do is watch anything with commentary.
Well, three commentaries that are definitely worth your time.
Okay.
Scrubs, because it's hilarious. It's generally Zach Braff. It's basically this podcast plus Bill Lawrence.
Okay. I'm into it already.
The Ghostbusters commentary is hilarious. And you should watch the commentary for Pee-wee's Big Adventure because it's literally just Tim Burton and Paul Reubens sitting around going, is that yours or mine? Which one of us actually owns that in real life?
Oh, that's great. Okay.
It's pretty amazing.
Put that on the list.
What have you been playing, good sir?
Well, what I have been playing, something actually you and I have both been playing a lot together is a lot of Fortnite. We did our inaugural Twitch stream at twitch.tv/UntitledJoshCast a few nights ago. We'll be doing more of that in the future. But before we went live playing Fortnite, we just have been playing a lot of Fortnite. Fortnite also serves as the perfect backdrop for our production meetings where we'll just play Fortnite and discuss the podcast. So that might be like a future deep cut recording of just record one of our production meetings while we're shooting bad guys in Fortnite.
You, ca- you captured gold. You picked up a human to scan them, and our producer slapped them right out of your hand and killed them.
If you go right now to twitch.tv/untitledjoshcast, what you'll see there is like the recording of our whole hour and a half from the other night. And also that this clip that Josh is just talking about that I pulled out specifically. And it's just really funny. It's a lot more fun to play with other people rather than like playing solo. And you know, you're on there, you're talking to your friends. In this case, I'm talking to you, you're talking to me. And like, why not just have a meeting about the podcast while we're playing Fortnite? It becomes the perfect backdrop for that.
Warning to our listeners, I curse a lot.
I mean, that's to be expected. You know, actually, so I was thinking about this the other day, that there is this like misconception nowadays, I think, of like the angry, cursing, yelling 12-year-old in online gaming forums, or not forums, but like in online gaming chat rooms and stuff. That's not really a thing anymore, or at least not, certainly not as much as it used to be, where games that were online multiplayer games where you could just hear everybody if they had a microphone. That's not really the case anymore. It still happens from time to time, but I just think it's funny that now it's you and I yelling at each other about what's happening rather than 12-year-olds yelling at us.
Definitely angry quarantined 40-year-olds right now.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we've been playing a lot of Fortnite. I've been playing Overcooked 2 in addition to our time on Fortnite. And I'm not going to lie to you, that game is stressful.
It is very stressful.
It's just you and your friends yelling, "Where's the goddamn egg? I need the goddamn egg. Why you threw the egg off of this balloon? Why are we cooking on a balloon? What the hell is happening?
Wash the dishes. It's on fire.
No plates."
It is a lot of fun. It is incredibly stressful, but like in a good way, I think.
Maybe. I don't know. The jury's out on that. The real question is, why are they letting cats and whales cook food? And why are there people walking through the kitchen? Why are you cooking in a swamp? What is going on in this goddamn game? Also, you can throw the food on the ground and pick it up and cook it. Like, where? None of this is up to code.
Nope. But it's fun.
The game starts, you're literally trying to cook for zombie French toast. What the hell is happening?
Right. And then you're serving zombie bread more food. Like, what? How does that work?
That's cannibalistic. That's not cool.
So if any of this sounds interesting to you, go play Overcooked 2 and you'll see exactly what we're talking about.
Fucking chaos.
I want to talk about John Krasinski's Some Good News news show that he created in his house. So John Krasinski, of course, star of The Office and of many things. He just like essentially started a news show on YouTube from his house in quarantine. His wife, Emily Blunt, makes an appearance, at least in the second episode. And it's just like the purpose of this was just to share good news that's happening and like heartwarming clips. Imagine Tosh.0, but like the heartwarming version of that. That's what the show is. On the second episode that came out a few days ago, earlier this week, I don't know, it came out at some time. He was talking to this girl. I don't remember how old she was, like 11 or 12 or 13. I'm not sure. But her and her mother had tickets to go see Hamilton, which of course is now suspended because no one's on Broadway doing anything right now. And, you know, she was upset about that. The family's upset for good reason. And so John Krasinski got the entire Hamilton original Broadway cast on Zoom to sing the opening number from Hamilton. And it's, oh God, I'm getting goosebumps right now just thinking about it. It was just like, just so wholesome and wonderful. And the girl, and I'm sorry, I can't remember her name. She's just like in awe that this is happening in front of her. It's just adorable.
I loved everything you just said, but the thing that I just learned, and it's going to melt everyone's mind that I didn't know this. I didn't know he was married to Emily Blunt.
Yeah. Well, so that's actually where the Hamilton connection comes in. So Lin-Manuel Miranda was in Mary Poppins with Emily Blunt. And so it's like, hey, honey, can you call your friend Lin to get his friends to come and do this? I imagine that's the phone chain that happened.
I rode a bus with Hamilton one time.
Yeah, is that right? That's exciting.
He was coming back from New York and he was in the Philly Hamilton. And we sat down and he was wearing like a Hamilton jacket. And this girl next to me and I kind of looked at each other. And we were like, are you in Hamilton? And he was like, yes. And we were like, who do you play? And he was like, I play Hamilton. And I was like, okay, I'm going to let you go back to sleep. But I've really enjoyed speaking to you. He was extremely nice. He was very, very kind. I liked him a lot.
That's amazing. So yes, tell me, I talked about this before where I can't read anything right now, but tell me what you have been reading.
I have been reading The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. And it's funny. It's like, it's teaching you how to reposition your life to not want everything in life and just be happy with what you have, which is cool, but it does it in a really sarcastic and kind of, it's kind of like a comedy, but it's a comedy with actual like things that you can learn from it type of situation. And it's been a good read. I've been on this kick of like, let's find uplifting things to like look at. And this, it's been a good read. It's a quick read and I've really enjoyed it.
All right. It's interesting. It's a book I always see everywhere because like it has a title and it has a curse word in the title. It's like, ooh, it's taboo.
I am always drawn to anything that has a curse word in the title. It's just, that's how I roll.
There you go. But in the book world, the thing that was really exciting this week was the nominations came out for this year's Hugo Awards. So the Hugo Awards are this annual like celebration of all things science fiction and fantasy. And it's not just about books. There's also a movie component. There's like editors are actually nominated. There's a podcast component as well. And so it's an exciting time of year. I tend to read more science fiction than other genres. And so it's always fun to see what books that I've read make it on this list. And there's one in particular that I definitely want to talk about. Are you familiar with either Charlie Jane Anders or Annalee Newitz?
I've heard both of those names. I don't know that I've read anything by either of them.
Both of them were at BookCon when we were at BookCon, like that day last summer. So that's like a little exciting news there. So Charlie Jane Anders, she wrote this book that came out last year. It's called The City in the Middle of the Night. It's up for Best Novel Hugo Awards. It's just fantastic. But before I convince you to read that book, I need to convince you to read her prior book, which is called All the Birds in the Sky. Does that ring a bell?
It does. It does sound familiar.
Okay. So this book came out in 2015, 16. I have this open somewhere. Where is it? It's over here. I'm getting there. I'm Googling 2016. It's a great book. Whereas City in the Middle of the Night was definitely one of my favorite reads last year. And I'm really excited to see it nominated for all kinds of things. All the Birds in the Sky is a book that I still think about to this day. It's just like one of these things that has entrenched itself into my brain. It's excellent. It is like this perfect mashup of magic and science. And that's like very literal magic against science in this book. And what I think, it's just really good. Like I'm going to do it a disservice to try and describe what the magic side is and what the science side is, but it takes place like in present day where magic exists and where like super high tech science things that are like just ahead of where we are right now also exist. And it's really great. And the story is just fantastic. The thing that is like the common through line of these two books of Charlie Jane Anders is her ability to write characters that I just absolutely loathe, like that I just want very bad things to happen to. Like
that seems like the opposite of what you would want in a book.
Right? Like in the beginning of All the Birds in the Sky, this is not super spoilery. Like if you pick up the book, I'm sure this will be like on one of the jackets or something. So it's about like there's two main characters, a boy and a girl. The book starts off with them as children and the two of them just have the worst parents in the world. Like they're just awful people. The girl character has just a terrible sister. The boy character, they're just terrible parents. And I just want bad things to happen to them. And like, it was a little like it was a little difficult to read to get through those introductory chapters before like the rest of the story starts. Cause like, I don't want anything to do with these terrible people anymore. And then the book is just amazing. I'm doing a terrible job describing it. But it's great. Mashup, magic, science, the end. I mean, not the end, but like, that's just really just the end.
Before you move on.
Yes.
So you really enjoy, you know, sci-fi fantasy books that kind of combine, you know, sci-fi with magic. Have you read Foundry Side yet by Robert Jackson Bennett?
I haven't, but you told me to, and it's on my list somewhere.
It's fantastic. So essentially, like, it does that exact thing. The characters are fantastic. There's a lot of humor in it, which I really liked. But it combines magic with what, in a way, is like computer coding, but set in a time that is like Assassin's Creed.
Oh,
so okay. It's this crazy combination of being able to like touch an object and know where the object came from or what happened to the object or how the object will be able to be affected by a decision that you make. And then there's this amazing talking key within it. And it's cool. It's a cool combination of all of the things that you like. It's a little long, but honestly, like, it's the best sci-fi book I've read in the last 10 years.
Wow. So getting back to the Hugo Award nominated City in the Middle of the Night, let me do my best. Well, at least a better job of describing that book to you than I did All the Birds in the Sky. So right off the bat, it takes place on a planet that's not Earth. So an alien planet, but it's in our universe. So this is the people that are on this planet came from Earth. And so like they have the customs and languages and foods and they all the things that came from Earth. I mean, this is going to be several hundreds of years in the future. I'm actually not sure if it says, but it's in the future, but these people came from Earth. But this planet that they get to is, it's tidally locked. So there's a permanent light side and a permanent dark side. And so the people on this planet live in the very narrow middle ground between the permanent light side and the permanent dark side. And it's just like right off the bat, that concept is incredibly fascinating. And then it's the characters that inhabit this world are just like you just believe everything about it. You're like, yep, okay, they left Earth. This is what happened. Now they're here. This is what it's really fascinating. Like it's just the way in which this world is crafted, it's just instantly believable. And even the things that get lean more into the fiction, the lean more into the fantasy, they're presented in a way that's totally believable in this world. It's just great. It's an amazing read. Definitely one of my favorites from last year. I'm very excited to see it nominated.
And we'll make sure on social media to like give you all a list of things that we've suggested so that you can track it without having to listen to the podcast 427 times. Although we would appreciate it.
Yeah,
if you listen to the podcast 427 times.
You'll get no arguments from me here. The other fun bit of Hugo news, and my apologies to like everyone else that was nominated who's not Charlie Jane Anders and Annalee Newitz. But so the two of them, they are a couple, and they have a podcast called Our Opinions Are Correct, which is like, that's essentially the thesis of our show. Our opinions are correct. Their podcast was also nominated as like the category, I think it's best fan cast, but it's just great. Annalee Newitz had a book come out last year called The Future of Another Timeline. This is another book that I'm sure you would be into. So it's about time travel. The premise of the book, and with apologies to Annalee Newitz, is like time traveling crime fighting feminists. And it's really good. And it has to do with like the implications of going back in time and making changes in the timeline and all of these really fascinating things. And it's a book that like Annalise's previous book is this really interesting mashup of like science and medicine and technology. It's called Autonomous. It's really great. This one, it's certainly very different. It's much more grounded. Again, it like takes place. It takes place across two different timelines, not to get too confusing, but in a much more like low tech world. As I'm trying to like edit what I'm saying, you know what? It's not important. Read the book.
1985 really and future 1985.
Well, actually it's like 1985 and then 2022 or something like that. But that's the idea. But it's like in a much more grounded way. Like there is obviously the technology in the future, but it's in a very different space than how it's presented in that previous book, Autonomous. But anyway, it gets into like the real consequences of time travel and like what it means to affect your future and your past and all these really great things. It's criminal that it was also not nominated for a Hugo. But it's just great. So I'm happy for the both of them. I have had interactions with them on Twitter and somewhat a little bit in person. Actually at BookCon, Annalie was at the publisher booth for this book. And like, I'm like, oh, hey, that's an author who I admire. I just walk over to the booth and like, I convinced somebody who was there to buy this book or to read. I don't think it was out yet. I think I convinced the woman who would like the con attendee. I think I convinced her to buy and read Autonomous because Future of Another Timeline wasn't going to come out for a couple months. And then I tried not to make a fool of myself when that woman left and I was talking to Annalie Newitz. I was like, you're fantastic. You were very nice on Twitter. I'm going to go now.
I'm your publicist now.
Yeah. I think I held it together. But man, so that was very exciting. Again, one of these days I'll actually get back into reading more books and I look forward to what will be my favorite books this year that will be on the Hugo list next year.
I'm going to read this. You've just added more books to my list that I'm going to buy. And then 6 months from now, read, because every time I hear a book, I buy a book and then I set it on a shelf and then I read the book on top of it and the one on top of that. And so eventually we'll get back to this. But for now, all of you should read these books and let us know if you like them.
Absolutely. The last thing that I wanted to talk about today of good things, heartwarming things that are happening in the world is this movement. Would we call it a movement? It is certainly this thing that's been happening in a lot of major cities in, I think, around the world, certainly in North America. I know some Canadian cities as well as US cities, where it's at least here in near New York, where I am, it's at 7 p.m. every night. People are opening their windows, going out onto their balconies if they have them, and just like clapping and like cheering on the healthcare workers who are certainly like in the middle of this pandemic right now. It was something that I think was like slow to be adopted on the East Coast anyway, as far as New York goes. But it's something that I think has certainly grown. One of my coworkers lives in New York City, and somebody in her neighborhood at 7 o'clock has just started playing Frank Sinatra's New York, New York, just while people are clapping. And like, just to hear it, it's just really, it's just like this really special moment in time. I don't know anybody who is a healthcare worker on the front lines like this, that's like in hospitals and things like that. But I hope that they know that they're appreciated and that like this thing is happening and it's kind of all over the place. And it's just like, it's become an emotional thing. And I hope that certainly that it continues, that we don't get like desensitized to the 7 p.m. claps, but it's great.
I definitely have 3 or 4 friends and 1 family member that I know are like, they're in the trenches and they're at the hospitals and they're doing their things. Like they're in areas that haven't been hit nearly as hard as New York, but it's scary to think that like, these are jobs that we overlooked. And like, they do put themselves in harm's way every day. And I don't know that they get enough respect for that. And it's, I love that they are finally getting that respect. It's also worth noting, and I think that we should mention that, like, the people that are still standing in grocery stores selling us our food, the people who are delivering the takeout orders that we're all living off of as we sit in our house, like, it's wild to me that these people are out there while we sit in our house terrified of what is possibly going on. And every one of these people should be rewarded with something. Like, when this shit is done, like, they should waive every one of those people's student loans for the rest of their life, or something of some magnitude that actually indicates the sacrifice that has been made for them to do this. Like, when troops come home from war, we treat them with lifetime respect of discount for, like, military discounts for dinner and movies and all of this, all of these things. And I believe in those things. They've earned those things. They deserve those things. But in some way, I think that these grocery store workers that have every day interacted with thousands of people, when we're being told to stay 6 feet away from everybody just so that we can have cat litter, like, they deserve some recognition for that in some way. And I don't know what that would be, but I hope that that happens.
Yeah, so do I. And, like, you're talking about veterans. The sad fact of that is that a lot of veterans don't experience that. And there's, like, serious deficiencies in veterans' healthcare, mental services, and things like that. But I agree with you 100% on the people whose jobs are still deemed essential right now, that do have to leave the house every day or 5 days a week, whatever it is, that have to leave their houses to go to work with masks and gloves and whatever other protective gear, just to do these things which we have deemed essential, like going to the grocery store, going to the pharmacy, delivering food.
Final thought for me on this: when we all go back to normal and we all have our normal lives, keep in mind these people that stood there and fought sickness for you and walked through their line instead of going through the self-checkout line, because that's how those people get to keep their jobs.
That's true. Well said. I think we'll wrap it up there. If you have enjoyed this show, please leave us a nice rating or review on Apple Podcasts and or a follow on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you happen to listen. Those things would really help us out. If you want to support the show financially, you can do so at patreon.com/untitledjoshcast, where you can get exclusive episodes, early ad-free access, and so much more. This show is written and hosted by me, Josh Gershman, and Josh Hammond. It is edited by me, and it is produced by Rylan Swedish Chef James. The podcast's intro music is Gemini by Alki, my apologies, and the song you're hearing right now in the background is called Cautious by Amorosa. Both appear on the Untitled Joshcast with permission from the artists. This is the part of the credits where we would list all of the Patreon producers at the $25 level or above. We hope you have enjoyed this episode of the Untitled Joshcast. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time. I got to be cautious.